لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى. We ask Allah to exalt the mentioning of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, I'll have a short talk before we begin the Q&A session. And the subject matter which I wanted to address this particular afternoon is that of the relationship of the slaves of Allah with Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani, when we speak about reliance on Allah, we find the example manifest in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps Surah As-Saffat provides a classical example for that. Surah As-Saffat is one of the amazing surah of the Quran, and the whole Quran is amazing. When you read it, and you make it to, I believe, the third page, or perhaps the fourth page, you will find that Allah Azza wa Jal begins a series of facts, historical facts, that happened with His messengers. And you will find that the common theme in all of them is how Allah Azza wa Jal saved the messengers and how He aided them against their enemies. So you will find that Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. And verily Noah had called upon us, and we are the best of those who answer. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. And we saved him and his people from the great calamity. Then Allah went on to say, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. And we made his progeny the one that remains, the one that stays. Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Peace be upon Nuh and the mankind, or amongst mankind. Then Allah says, Thumma aghraqna al-akharin. After a few ayat, then we have drowned, or we drown everybody else. Now pay attention to the idea here. Noah is being mocked and ridiculed by his whole people. All of his people, except the very small minority who actually believed in him. The vast majority rejected his da'wah, they disbelieved in him, they mocked him, they made fun of him, and they said that he was a lunatic, that he was crazy, he was a soothsayer, and what have you. And then Allah commands him to build an ark. And he wasn't building the ark in the ocean, as you know, because people don't build the ark in the ocean. They build it on land. Then they sail in the ocean with it. And the people would walk by and say, what are you doing there? What is this ark for? And they would make fun of him. And he would reply, that you make fun of us and we mock you as you mock us. And then, after having given them da'wah for such a long time, 950 years, and they rejected the message and they insisted on disbelief, and they plotted against him to exterminate him, he said, Inni maghloobun fantasir. O Allah, I'm in the state of being attacked or defeated, so aid me. So Allah commanded the rain to fall from the sky, and the ocean and the rivers and all the water came together, لِأَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرْ, for a matter that has been pre-decreed, and Allah Azza wa Jal drowned all of those disbelievers and He saved Noah and a few believers with him. So when you rely upon Allah, you will not be left alone. Against all odds, Allah aided Noah against the disbelievers. And then Abraham came around. And Allah says in the ayat after, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ, and from among the followers of Noah is Abraham. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, when he came to his Lord with a sound heart. He came to his Rabb with a sound heart. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, he said to his father and his people, what is it that you worship? أَإِفْكًا دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ, أَإِفْكًا آلِهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ, do you invent other gods against Allah? Do you come up with your own gods according to your will and intent? فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, then what is your estimation then of the Lord of everything? What is your estimation concerning the Lord of everything? And you read the ayat, and then Allah says, فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. Of course they said, قَالُوا ابْنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ, they said, build a construction for him and throw him into the burning fire. And the scholars say they put together and they kindled this humongous fire. It was so raging and so strong that if a bird were to fly on above it, way above it, it will fall down toasted, barbecued from the severity of the heat. And they wanted to throw Ibrahim. And as it comes in some of the tafsir of the ulama, that Jibreel came to Ibrahim and said, is there anything which you need from me? He said, as from you, then no. But as for Allah, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah is sufficient for me, and what an excellent protector. Allah is sufficient for me, and what an excellent protector. And so, when they threw him in the fire, the divine command was issued, and Allah teaches in the Quran that He said, وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ, وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ, and we said, O fire, be cool and safe upon Ibrahim. And so they threw him in a fire which neither burnt him nor did it make him sweat. They threw him in a huge kindled fire which did not manage to burn him, because Allah said to the fire, don't burn and be cool. So the fire which was created to be hot and burn could no longer burn and be hot, because the one who created it commanded it otherwise. And against all odds, Allah saved Ibrahim from the plot of his enemies. And they weren't able to harm him. What was the key word? حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah is sufficient for me and He is the most excellent protector. And you read on after Ibrahim, Allah tells us about Musa and Harun. And Musa and Harun have to go against the wild, wild Pharaoh, who had so much power, it wasn't even funny. Okay, he had so much power, Allah said, and Fir'aun, the one with the tents, you know, because his army was so huge, when they would go somewhere to camp, they would cover up the whole area with their tents. I mean, he had some power. Now you can look at the pyramids and see what's up. And now Pharaoh and his people, all of them are going against two individuals, Musa and his wazir Harun. Musa and his minister, his brother Harun. And sure enough, Musa defeated Pharaoh in the debate initially. Then he defeated him when the magicians came, so the magicians became the first to believe in Musa. So Pharaoh was burnt and disappointed again. And then they went through the years, the severe years in which the lice and the frogs and the blood and the locust overtook them. And then at the end of the day, when he chased Musa and Harun and Bani Israel to the Red Sea, Allah Azza wa Jal drowned all of them. And Allah saved Musa and Harun from the biggest criminal and tyrant of his time, Pharaoh. And then after Pharaoh and Musa and Harun, Allah speaks about Elias, and how he admonishes people by saying, "Atad'una ba'dlan wa tadharuna ahsana al-khaliqin." Do you call on an animal and you abandon the best of creators? Do you call on this god, this fake statue of yours, and you abandon Allah? And Allah Azza wa Jal again saved Elyasin or Elias from the plots of the enemies. And after him, Lut. And Allah saved Lut from his wicked, homosexual, abnormal people, who men used to have relations with men while they abandoned women. And so they were wicked creatures. And Allah saved Lut from them, and he protected him. And then last but not least, Yunus, Jonah. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ أَبْقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فلولا أنه كان من المسبحين للبث في بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. You know the story of Jonah and what happened to him, and how they cast a lot, and it was his turn or his decree to be thrown into the ocean off the ship. And when he was thrown, he was swallowed by a whale. And you've never been swallowed by a whale and have come out to know what that feels like. And we cannot truly imagine what it would be like. Nevertheless, we know that it would be something that is very, very difficult to endure and deal with. And indeed, he was in the belly of the whale for some time. What saved him? He said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu mina al-zalimin. There's no God worthy of worship except you. How perfect you are, I was among the wrongdoers. And so Allah said, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ Had he not been among those who magnified and glorified and raised Allah above any imperfection prior to that, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the day they are resurrected. But his tasbih of Allah, his declaration of the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, his admission to his shortcomings and his sins, protected him and saved him from the belly of the whale. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that He made them go ashore. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْتِينَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ So then we sent him to 100,000 and more. Meaning more than 100,000, so they believed. After having been in the belly of the whale, then he was out giving da'wah for 100,000 people and more to embrace Islam through the da'wah of Yunus alayhi salam. What am I trying to address here? What I'm trying to address is Allah will always save and protect His righteous slaves. So are we among them? Allah will not abandon the righteous slave, whether he is free or he is imprisoned, whether he is rich or he is poor, whether he is happy or he's unhappy with some of the circumstances, Allah will not abandon him. Allah will make ways out for him. It doesn't mean that he will be freed if he was imprisoned, nor does it mean that he will be given wealth if he was poor. It just means that Allah will make him satisfied with whatever Allah decrees for him. And so Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah died in prison, but hey, he was one happy man. He perhaps was happier than all of us combined. If all of us brought our contentment and happiness together, I don't think it would be equivalent to that of Ibn Taymiyyah while he was in prison, rahimahullah. Because we assume, وَلَا نُزَكِّيهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُ وَنَحْسَبُ كَذَلِكَ He was from the righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan is a perfect opportunity to return to Allah and try to be on good terms with Him. It is a perfect opportunity to become a righteous slave of Allah so that Allah will protect you all of your life. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah will give the statement of firmness of those who believe in this life and in the life to come. Allah will keep you firm in this life and in the life to come. Meaning in the grave. Great when you're questioned. You'll be able to say that which is correct. What better opportunity to do this in Ramadan, O you who have been turning away from Allah all year. Return. O you who have been negligent the whole year. Return. O you who have been heedless and careless the whole year. Return. Make this Ramadan the slogan of return. Your relationship with Allah, He will protect you like He protected the prophets and the messengers. If Allah made the fire not burn Ibrahim, and He saved Yunus in the belly of the whale, and He saved Musa and Harun from Fir'aun, and He saved Noah from his people, and He made everyone drown but them, and He saved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the plot of the whole world, and He spread His message of Islam, even though the disbelievers hate it, and it continues to be spread until today, even though the disbelievers hate it, and it will continue to spread in the future, even though the disbelievers hate it. That was the blessings, that was the support that Allah gave the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. You get on good terms with Allah, and you will have an equal or a privilege which may be lesser than that, but worthy and honorable enough. at the end of the day, we can never be like the prophets and the messengers. So this is my invitation to myself and you, brothers and sisters, in this month. In this month which Allah has made blessed, fix it up and take advantage of the time and do that which is pleasing to Allah to the best of your ability. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will make us among His righteous slaves and will protect us in this life and in the life to come. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Don't have much time, by the way. Question number, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. What is the ruling on fiqh regarding the qawl of our prophet? Which one takes the precedence over the other in general in the usul of fiqh? Excellent question. And I don't recall the answer. قَوْلُ أَبْلَغْ مِنَ الْفِعْلِ If I remember correctly, the statement is more eloquent or superior to the action. Because the action may have multiple interpretations and maybe something specific to it, whereas the statement is more clear-cut. عَلَى كُلِّ حَال This requires to be revised, inshallah ta'ala. But that's a very good question. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Can you please let us know if we must repeat wudu after fish, after eating fish? It has been mentioned that we must repeat wudu after eating camel meat. Is there any ruling around eating fish? No, there's no such thing concerning eating fish. And perhaps in the future you want to spell meat M-E-A-T and not M-E-E-T. Otherwise we'll have to meet at some other time. Can we tear some of the letter of the name of Allah in order to preserve it and so that we can throw the rest? Example, if it was written on a paper, and you just ripped the Allah or the Lafzul Jalal and teared it into the letter, so it's no longer Allah's name in, as in one word, then you chuck the letter away. Yeah, that's fine, but make sure that the word itself, which has Allah, the paper itself, is ripped into small pieces so that it is no longer readable. Next question says, I'm trying to extend this. Can you please let us know what we must say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes and names are exalted in the dua, qunut, when praying behind imam in witr salah during Ramadan? It is clear that we must say ameen when imam asks for Allah's help. However, it is not very clear of what we must say when the imam calls for his names and attributes. You do not say anything. When the imam says, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, or anything of the sort, you remain silent. Because we have nothing from the sunnah which indicates that you have to say or that you should say anything else. Subsequently, you should remain silent. Assalamu alaikum. Is vaginal secretions of women invalidate the fast? No. The regular, normal secretions do not. Unless there's orgasm. In which case, that invalidates the fast. Are all Shia kafir, even if they don't curse any Sahaba, but pray combined three prayers instead of regular? Not all of them are, but most of them are. Those who don't curse the Sahaba are a minority. Others curse the Sahaba, but they don't do it in front of you. I increase my relationship with Allah? By learning about Him, knowing His name, His attributes. During the Ramadan, during this Ramadan, I have tried to do more than I have last year, inshallah. However, a few days ago, started to feel upset that I wasn't doing much. Do you have any advice to help overcome this, or what I could do, inshallah? Allahu alam. Don't feel upset. Just try to perfect what you're doing already. If you haven't been able to do more, at least what you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. Now. Why do some of the mujahideen part in the hadith to elongating because we have other narrations which make it seem like whoever, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever, you know, he described the wudu, he said whoever exceeds that, then he has transgressed. So the other narration indicates that if you go beyond what the Prophet ﷺ did, you have actually transgressed. This is what led them to believe that what Abu Hurairah did, radiallahu anhu, was his own ijtihad. Because of the other narrations which indicated otherwise. What is the perfect dua for this holy month of Ramadan? Well, first, do not call it holy. Ramadan Muqaddas. It's a blessed month. It's a blessed month. We don't call it holy. Secondly, the best dua is the one which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Aisha, but that is for Laylatul Qadr, which is Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. But in the whole month, the best dua is the one which comes from your heart. It's the one which comes from your heart, the one in which you're sincere, and the one which, you know, that certainty that Allah will respond and accept, and the one wherein you ask Allah for the firdaus. Naam. Bid'ah, if you just like to repeat three times dua that doesn't have specified number of times to repeat because Rasulullah made dua. No. How is that bid'ah when it's the sunnah? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Are we allowed to read mysteries? Well, it depends on the content. Depends on the content. Most of these books contain wicked material and un-Islamic material and basically, you know, polytheistic content. And if I were you, I would avoid them. I would read an Islamic book or a real life, you know, real story. Based on a real story. What is the procedure for women cutting the hair after performing Umrah? They gather their hair, you know, like in a ponytail, and they remove like the tip of the pinky. That's it. That Noah gave 950 years of da'wah. Did the people in that age all read such ages? Yeah, people used to live longer. Whether all of them lived with them or some of them died before him, Allahu Alam. But that was normal. People used to live a lot longer than they do today. Allahu Alam. Our mosque, they split the Ramadan night prayers in two parts. Half of a juz direct after Isha and another half before Fajr. Is that okay? Wallahi, yani there are different comments on this behavior. Some of the scholars say there's nothing wrong with it, while other ones criticize it. And I'm not in a position to tell you what it is. I do make mistakes, then I repent. But soon I return to the same mistakes. What can I do? Repent again. To stop eating as soon as we hear the adhan, or can we finish what is in the plate cup before the adhan finishes? Can we finish after a few minutes adhan? The adhan is called at the time of salah, at the actual time of salah. Then you may conclude what is in your hand. You may finish what is in your hand, not a plate. But if you have a cup, drink. If you have a spoon in your hand, eat it. That's it. Nothing beyond that. How to establish a good relationship with Allah, practical steps. I mentioned that already. You can go to my lecture, The Means of Survival. The lecture, The Means of Survival. InshaAllah, you'll find the answer there. The month of Ramadan, and I want to perform Taraweeh and Tahajjud at the main mosque we have in the area, but my father does not allow me, and I need to. What should I do? Well, sister, you don't need to. What you need to do is you need to listen to your father. This is what you need to do. What you want to do is you want to pray Taraweeh and Tahajjud. What you need to do is you need to stay at home because your father told you to do so. Because obeying your father is obligatory and doing tahajjud is voluntary, and you must give precedence and prioritize by doing what is obligatory before you do that which is voluntary. You must, and wallahi, yes sister, if you were to disobey your father and leave the house to pray tahajjud, the malaika will curse you from the time you leave the house while you're in the musalla until you return home. You will be cursed by the angels and Allah the whole time you are engaged in this supposed act of worship. Because you cannot attain Allah's pleasure by disobeying Him. When your father tells you don't go, alhamdulillah, Allah will give you the ajr of obeying your father, and the ajr of the tahajjud, and the ajr of the taraweeh based on your niyyah, and it will be a win-win situation for you. You go against your father, and wallahi, you will lose. So make sure you make the wise decision. That applies for the brothers as well. He has to attend Isha. The brother has to attend Isha only. But if the father says, don't pray taraweeh, don't pray taraweeh. But you will not find that many fathers doing that. I'm sure the father has a reason why he prevented the daughter from going there. He has a reason. And whatever his reason is, alhamdulillah. But this is not common. But when it happens, you obey your parents. As the hadith which says that the breath of a fasting person is better than to Allah than musk. Is it better to avoid brushing the teeth while we are fasting? According to the ulama, based on this hadith, yes, you should. You should avoid brushing your teeth. And you should avoid brushing your teeth generally because of the possibility of swallowing some of the toothpaste. what is much better for a new Muslim? Do Taraweeh in congregation without understanding the Arabic of the Imam, or do it alone with the few surah that he knows, which he understands? It depends on where he feels better. And understanding Arabic definitely helps. But the very act of standing in salah before Allah is humiliating and effective. Now, guys, these will be the last questions, because I have a long story which I'm not going to share with you in terms of what happened to us last night. And so, Allah knows what you don't know. So inshallah, spare me, barakallahu feekum, after these couple of questions. Is it correct to pray without reciting it, rather in your head? I'm assuming you mean the Fatiha. No, you must recite it with your tongue and with your mouth movement. Assalamu alaikum. The congregational dua, if it is very long, can we get up and leave, or do we sit through it because it may seem rude if we leave? Wallahi, ya Shaykh. Wallahi, sometimes you feel like you want to leave. And you want to tape the Imam's mouth before you leave. Because of the transgression that some of these Imams fall into in this dua, which they've made it repulsive. May Allah guide them and rectify their condition. Anyone who goes against the Sunnah will be a loser. 7 minute dua, 10 minute dua, your feet are about to fall apart and break. He's repeating things, he doesn't know what he's saying. He's some of them, you know, commit shirk in the dua. Shirk. One of them said, and I heard him, I was praying behind him, "Oh Allah, we knocked on all doors. The only one left is yours." After he tried everything, then the last thing he has is Allah. Not the first thing, the last thing. These Imams, man, ridiculous, some of them, ridiculous. Against the Sunnah, he keep the dua brief and concise and precise. But I tell you, don't leave. Don't leave. Hang in there and ask Allah to reward you for your patience. And when you're done, advise the Imam if you're able to do so. Tell him to fear Allah concerning the people behind him. We wish he made this dua on his own, not in front of everyone. Is it okay to have mixed intentions? If not, should we refrain from doing the action? I don't know what you mean by mixed intentions. But the deed should be for the sake of Allah alone, if that's what you mean. If you wish to do a deed for the sake of Allah, and not to please the people, but to teach the people, that's fine. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. This is the last question. I know one of my brother who uses a hadith of Bukhari that Taraweeh is a bid'ah. How do I answer him? The hadith clearly mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu himself said, "What a nice bid'ah it is. Please help me." Habibi, ya Faraz, go to my lecture on YouTube titled "The Extermination of Innovation." And there, a special segment is dedicated to this particular claim. And by Allah's grace, it was yani satisfactory. Inshallah, you will listen to it, and he will have to swallow it with you, your friend, because it's too powerful to be refuted. So check out my lecture, "The Extermination of Innovation," and there I spoke about this hadith and how to understand it correctly and everything pertaining to that. And I give you farewell. If my sister insists on staying home and praying Taraweeh, but my mom tells her to come to the mosque and pray, so what should she do? Then she should go to the house and pray with your mom. You obey your parents concerning these matters. You obey your parents. If your mother tells you come to the masjid, go to the masjid. Don't stay at home. If your mother tells you stay at home, don't go to the masjid. Stay at home, don't go to the masjid. That's it. For the sisters, that's it. the mother is a priority. Alrighty. Barakallahu feekum. وحياكم الله ونراكم على خير إن شاء الله والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.